Welcome back to BCX Connects. My name is Harith Beck. I'm the Managing Executive for Cybersecurity. In our last episode, we explored how people themselves can be the weakest link in cybersecurity defense. Today, we're going to be delving a little bit deeper into the everyday digital habits and the habits that quietly shape our resilience. So things like weak passwords, public Wi-Fi, home networks, bring your own device policies may sound basic, but they're very often where the real battles are lost. The future of cybersecurity won't just be decided by new technologies or AI or things like zero trust. It will depend on how consistently we get the basics right. Now, digital hygiene is about the small, repetitive actions that create resilience over time. Now, joining me again today is my colleague and subject matter expert, Chris Bester. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you.
So together, we're going to be exploring how these simple risks still matter and how future trends are shaping the way we defend against them. Now, firstly, Chris, I'm going to maybe touch on public Wi-Fi because I find the public Wi-Fi thing quite interesting. You know, I myself have a bit of a habit where I just don't use public Wi-Fi, and I also don't use those airport charging stations, you know, the way you plug in your USB. I've heard a few horror stories and I'm just so untrusting of anything. Now, public Wi-Fi has always been risky. No, I mean, the risk profile is changing, but it's not just about sniffing the unencrypted traffic anymore. Attackers are now using automation and AI to mimic legitimate networks. So tailored phishing sites in real time to capture credentials. Even public charging points are becoming weaponized, you know, where they call it juice-jacking.
Juice-jacking, yes, yeah, that's the word.
So I mean, like, so Chris, when you look at this evolution, how do you see individuals and businesses balancing the convenience of public connectivity and the growing sophistication of attacks?
The attacks really are getting sophisticated. And unfortunately, I mean, as humans, we are our own worst enemy. You know, we convenience most often trumps vigilance. You know?
Yes.
And it comes back to what we discussed in our previous episode, the education. We need to, from a corporate perspective, it is just repeat that message, that it becomes part of our fiber, becomes part of our culture to be vigilant. Like I said, you know, it's so easy to be just for convenience sake, let's just plug it in quickly and not thinking, my phone is dead, I need to plug it in, so, you know, and oh, this is free.
Yes,
it's so easy to and most often those are weaponized.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. You know, the lack of people's awareness on utilizing VPNs, as an example.
Yeah.
You know, just that awareness, you know, boils down to what we were speaking about yesterday. But I think that's the tension we face, right? I mean, it's like you said, it's convenience versus resilience. You know, the future will likely bring more embedded encryption and seamless VPN-like protection. But until then, the choice to connect, it lies securely, it rests with the individual. Right? So at the end of the day, it sits with them.
And ignorance sometimes, it's especially the man in the street out there. You know, you talk about VPN, and the moment I had a conversation with someone the other day, and at the moment I said, use a VPN, I don't have money for that. You know, just look around. There's some free options that's basic protection, but it's already better than nothing.
I mean, look, so for me, the model is like the next time you see free airport Wi-Fi 123, don't click it unless you want willing to donate your banking details to some teenager in a basement or maybe some guy sitting in Russia or Finland.
Yeah. So. And like you said, there's some horror stories. If you just
Let
your fingers walk through the internet forest for a while, you'll find those stories. And
I think like this, like the second part that I wanted to segue into is, I think, more horror stories, I suppose, is when we start talking about IoT devices and home networks. Yes. You know, I mean, like, if we move into the home, I think if you look at the pandemic, right, the pandemic really blurred the boundary between personal and professional networks. Like, default router passwords and insecure IoT devices are now enterprise risks. And it always, this example always comes to me, is the very famous casino hack in 2017, right? Where the fish tank sensor, the thermostat, that was used, and they gained access to the network because the fish tank had access to the Wi-Fi and to the network, and they moved around laterally for months.
Yeah.
So much to the point that they downloaded over 10 gigabytes of sensitive data. And that is just a prime example of overlooked devices. Now, if you look specifically at IoT, think about the thousands of IoT devices, because now we're talking about so many different connected devices. You have a fridge. That's your IoT device. You know what I mean? Your fridge can betray you.
Your fridge can betray you, yes.
Exactly. So, I mean, so looking ahead, I think as homes fill with AI-driven or voice-activated devices, I've got Alexa all over the place by my house. You know, the attack surface multiplies, right?
So
IoT won't just be about DDoS botnets anymore. It's going to pivot into something more, right?
Exactly. And you know, your the perpetrators out there, they know what's happening in our world as well. And once again, coming over, it's convenience, you know, convenience over vigilance, over security. I mean, I myself, I have quite a few home automation things in my house. And when you talk about your network setup and whatever with people, I say, I just slap it on, you know. They don't think about maybe segregating that kind of network, and especially, you know, people working from home. They have their corporate devices, they plug it in their home network. And that's open a whole can of worms there.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, the critical insight is IoT isn't consumer tech, right? It's part of enterprise perimeter as well. I mean, we see on a day-to-day how big the IoT space is. You know, the way we secure our homes will increasingly define the security posture of our organizations, essentially. So, I mean, I always think also of that very famous water filtration plant that was breached in the States, you know, and the hackers came in via the aircon system, the HVAC system. So, it's,
and that is very scary. I mean, there now we're talking about attacks on a cyber attack that can have a physical effect on human lives.
Exactly, because, I mean, think about it. A water filtration plant doesn't hold any sensitive, personal credentials or anything like that. But what those threat actors are doing, they're trying to change the formula for palatable water.
Exactly.
Ultimately, you can poison an entire populace.
Yeah.
Right? So putting, upping the potassium and upping the sodium and all of those kind of things, small differences.
It brings it home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds like a movie, but there are really scary stories about that.
Exactly.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, no one updates their smart fridge, right? I'm sitting in there in the kitchen, you know, while my fridge is plotting against me, probably sending out the grocery list straight to the hacker in Moscow. You know what I mean? So it's just a crazy.
Or even your vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
Your vacuum cleaner has a camera on it to navigate.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah.
And there's some horror stories of vacuum cleaners, the automated vacuum cleaners that's been hacked.
It's fascinating.
And people spying on.
Yeah, no,
and some celebrities actually
exactly.
People spying on them.
Targeted people, exactly. But I think the other thing I wanted to touch on is passwords. I mean, passwords, remain the soft underbelly of cyber. So, I mean, credential stuffing attacks, you know, cheap scaling is devastating, you know, and the human behavior hasn't changed, you know, reuse it till it's rampant. But I see the landscape shifting. I mean, there's more things moving towards passwordless authentication, you know, those 502 standards, biometrics, behavioral recognition, etc. You know, so we see a lot of the big players like Microsoft and Google's, you know, moving towards that direction. I think
spending big bucks on their budgets on that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, privileged access management is really key. I mean, that is really growing in most of the segments as well. But I think over time, identity will move from something we know to something we are or do ultimately. So I think, so Chris, what's your view on this passwordless future?
You know, there's actually quite a debate if you go out and look at the subject on the internet. There's the people that's for it and people that's against it. And say, you know, you still have to have your password because that's something you know and things like that. But the big players are moving, as you said, moving towards a passwordless and really having the biometric factor coming in and you know, they want us, you know, if you climb into your car, which is all internet connected, you know, that you don't need to log on to something or log in here and there, and your car must just recognize you as you, because who you are.
I think it's a profound shift. So I think passwordless won't arrive overnight, honestly speaking. I think forward-looking businesses and enterprises are already preparing.
They are preparing for it, and it's been implemented in quite a few places.
I mean, for me it's about future-proofing your identity.
Yes,
ultimately,
because I like that term. Future-proofing your identity.
So because the cost of clinging to passwords, you know, is only going to grow.
I mean, how long can it be? You know, you keep on making it longer and longer and longer to make it stronger and stronger and stronger. And the human mind is not made to remember all these things. So then ultimately you write it down, and that's another.
So in the future, I think instead of remembering Fluffy 2010 as your password or something like that, you know, I'll just log in with my thumbprint or maybe from the behavioral analytics, maybe how angrily I bash my keyboard on a Monday morning, you know, that behavioral pattern will be picked up.
They were talking, especially the Germans were doing research on that kind of thing, you know. So, it's interesting.
I think obviously it's a natural progression to talk about the bring your own device. I mean, the BYOD is being there, right? So unlock productivity and flexibility. But what we've seen is it has also unlocked massive exposure. Personal devices often lack the enterprise-grade defenses. You know, it creates that blind spots that organizations don't pick up, you know, specifically around data protection. I think for me, the future lies in a unified endpoint management around zero trust architectures. I think definitely around that. I mean, this for me means separating, you know, personal and professional environments while maintaining that visibility and control.
Try that and move that protection almost onto a network layer.
Definitely.
Because now you're bringing in your own device, which obviously doesn't have all that protection and all the things that you have in your corporate machine. So you're not going to have that particular endpoint protection on there that's okay for your organization. Then you have to step just that layer back and say, okay, let's protect it from here. Or, you know, it's complicated.
You have to strike a balance.
It's a complicated
BYOD. I think it's always funny. I think the new slogan for BYOD should be you know, bring your own devices, but don't bring your own malware.
True.
I think you know, we see it, right? Lost devices, unpatched apps, you know, even worse, the shadow IT. I mean, we've been speaking about shadow IT for the last 8 to 10 years. It's still there, right?
And you know, with today's technology, with AI now also in the play, everybody thinks he's an IT specialist because he can just ask AI. And that's another.
Yeah, the shadow AI is a different story. We'll pick up that in our next episode.
Exactly. That's a good one.
I think, so I think on the BYOD side, I think the balance, we have to strike that balance, you know, trust and empowerment on the one side, but accountability and resilience on the other. I think that's the best way. I think, look, I want to touch on everyday hygiene habits. Right? And ultimately, I found, you know, the foundation that cyber resilience comes from digital hygiene. So updating firmware, enabling MFA, reviewing app permissions. These are not glamorous, but they're essential. So, I mean, the next wave is obviously automation, self-patching devices, AI monitoring, etc. But the real question is whether people will trust systems to act on their behalf.
That's the question.
You know, the cultural acceptance of an automated defense is all be crucial as technology itself, you know. So,
and I just had a conversation with someone in this week asking me, what about all this AI? I'm scared of this, you know. So there's still that mentality. Some people don't know where to place it. They still don't know whether they need to be scared of it or whether they need to adopt it, you know, but or embrace it.
I think, you know, the hygiene is really the fundamentals in having successful secure environments. I think ultimately for me, MFA is like eating vegetables, right? You don't love it, but it'll keep you alive.
It will keep you alive. You're very, very, that's a good analogy. I like that.
So I think, just some closing thoughts. I think the reflection I'd like to leave everyone with is that, you know, cybersecurity isn't just defined by the sophistication of the attacker or the strength of the technology. It's definitely defined by the consistency of our habits. Public Wi-Fi, IoT devices, passwords, BYOD, they may seem mundane, but these are true front lines. The future will bring passwordless authentication, like we mentioned, AI-driven endpoint security, autonomous patching, etc. But until those are fully realized, it's our digital hygiene today that sets the tone. So with that, Chris, thank you for your insights.
Well, thank you.
To our listeners, stay disciplined, stay aware, and remember, resilience is built in the everyday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.